Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Arena REIT half-year results conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rob de Vos, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Arena REIT's results presentation for the half-year to 31 December 2021. Before commencing our presentation, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the various lands on which we gather today and recognize their ongoing connection to land, waters, and community. Arena's announcement, investor presentation, and financial statements were released to the ASX earlier this morning. My name's Rob de Vos, Arena's Managing Director. Joining me on the call today is Gareth Winter, Arena's Chief Financial Officer. Today's presentation will include an overview of the highlights of the half year and an update on our performance against Arena's investment objectives and our business strategy. Gareth will provide insight into Arena's financial results and capital management position, and I will close the presentation with an update on portfolio operations and commentary on Arena's outlook. As always, there will be an opportunity for questions at the end of our presentation. Moving into the presentation on page three, and I'm pleased to report that first half of financial year 22 has been another successful period for the business. We've performed well against our investment objective, achieved strong investment outcomes across the portfolio, and facilitated ongoing positive outcomes for the many communities across Australia that use an Arena property for their early learning or healthcare needs. Our highlights for the period include a record statutory profit of $185 million and underlying cash-based net operating profit of $27.5 million, which is up 11% on half year 21. We've seen strong valuation growth across the portfolio, reflective of ongoing demand for real estate that accommodates essential community services, contributing to an increase in net asset value, which is up 18% since June. We've made good progress on our renewable energy installations across the portfolio and against our financial year 22 sustainability goals. We've acquired one new early learning centre on completion and completed three early learning centre development projects and replenished our development pipeline, which now includes 19 future projects that will provide community access to 2,000 new early learning places. Gearing is under 19%, providing balance sheet capacity to take advantage of further new opportunities that are consistent with our investment objective and strategy. Earnings per security was 7.97 cents, which is up 10% on first half of financial year 21, and we have distributed 7.9 cents per security and are pleased to announce today an upgrade to full-year distribution guidance to 16 cents per security, reflecting an increase of 8.1% on financial year 21. Moving to the next slide, and underpinning those achievements made in the first half is Arena's consistent approach, strong industry relationships, and high conviction on maintaining our discipline and executing on our strategy. Highlights for the period under the team's key focus areas, we've sold two early learning centre properties that relative to the balance of the portfolio are older and less efficient for total proceeds of just over $10 million and a premium of 15% to book value. We've seen strong valuation growth across the portfolio of $153 million for the half year. The passing yield for the portfolio is now at 5.14%, having compressed by 63 basis points from June. Our long WALE has been maintained at just under 20 years, and we've also maintained 100% occupancy across the portfolio, which has been the case now for six consecutive years. And this achievement highlights the overall quality of the portfolio, the need for the services we accommodate in the community, as well as the proactive asset management programs undertaken by the Arena team. Average like-for-like rental increases across the portfolio for the half was 3.6%, and post-balance date, we've agreed terms to extend leases on 21 properties by an average of 5 years to facilitate solar installation and access to energy consumption data. During the period, we made good progress on a renewable energy program that is focused on collaborating with our tenant partners to install and promote the use of solar and reduce the energy intensity of our portfolio. Not including the post-balance date agreement, we've now over 75% of the portfolio using or in the process of installing renewable energy. In relation to the relatively small rent relief program struck in financial year 20, all of our tenant partners remain compliant with those agreements, and we've received 100% contracted rent through the year. We've completed 3 early learning centre developments with existing tenant partners. These projects had a total investment cost of $16.9 million and a net initial yield on all costs, including transaction costs, of 6.4%. We've also replenished our development pipeline with the acquisition of 8 new early learning centre development sites. Each project has been committed on a new 20-year triple net lease. We've acquired 1 operating early learning centre in metropolitan Victoria on a new 20-year lease at a 4.7% initial yield on all costs. And we've agreed to buy a further 6 operating properties in South Australia post-balance date with an existing tenant partner on new 25-year leases at an initial yield on all costs, including transaction costs, of 5.6%. Moving on to slide 5, and ARENA released its 2021 sustainability report during the period, which provides the detail on our commitment to strategies that address sustainability challenges and opportunities faced by our business and our stakeholders. We've made good progress in the first 6 months of the year on these strategies, including a material increase in the use of renewable energy, reducing our tenant partners' utility costs and reducing negative impacts on the environment. We've increased our stakeholder engagement, which has allowed us to collaborate and create partnerships for positive change. We're currently working on plans to further reduce carbon emissions for our organisation and for our portfolio and to align our reporting with TCFD. Our partnership approach promotes ongoing business and mutually beneficial outcomes for our stakeholders, including importantly for our team, where we are working on extending and reporting on employee initiatives to retain and attract the best resources and maintain our strong culture. If we do all of these things well, not only will we achieve positive sustainability outcomes, we'll also achieve positive commercial outcomes, and we will continue to broaden our universe of capital providers with a growing number of investors seeking better sustainability and social impact attributes from the businesses they invest in. And in that context, ARENA is at the start of a journey, in our view, very well positioned. Moving on to an update on COVID impacts on the business on slide 6. And like all of us, we had hoped to be on an improving health trajectory in the latter months of the half. Obviously, this was not the case with the resurgence of COVID-19, requiring our tenant partners, our team, contractors and service providers to again adjust their processes. And on behalf of the ARENA team, thank you to all of the stakeholders for their tenacity and professionalism they have shown over this period. As ARENA's portfolio exclusively accommodates essential community services, we've been somewhat sheltered from the financial impacts that other businesses are dealing with. We are acutely aware of the challenges that the resurgence of the pandemic has had and is continuing to have on many of our stakeholders. At an operational level, all of ARENA's properties continue to trade over the period, delivering essential services. We've received 100% contracted rent for the 6-month period and therefore have no arrears. Progress on our development and origination programs has largely been unaffected to date, and looking forward, our medical centres will continue to play an important role in assisting the national vaccination program. Like many parts of the economy, but particularly true of social services, the most evident impact on our stakeholders currently is the shortage of educators in the early learning sector, which for anyone that has been following us for the last few years would know has been an issue that we've talked about for some time and is an issue that is becoming more pressing in a living with COVID environment. Operators, including our tenant partners, are needing to pay more, engage more, train more to attract and retain a good team. In our portfolio to date, the extra cost of labour has been absorbed by higher operating revenue, but it remains an area of key focus for the industry in relation to both containing cost and maintaining and improving overall quality of service. One consistency through the pandemic is the efforts by both state and federal government to ensure that early learning services remain open and continue to improve, not just for now, but for the important contribution they make to our current and future communities, allowing parents and carers to join or get back into the workforce, providing opportunity for better financial security, as well as the benefits from increased socialisation, including the emotional well-being of preschool children. In addition to the increased government funding coming into the sector next month, we're likely to see early learning to be a focus point for both major political parties in the lead up to the next federal election. And with that, I'll now pass you over to Gareth to provide some detail on our financial results.
Thanks, Rob, and good morning, everyone. Just turning to page 8 of the presentation, you'll find a summary of ARENA's operating income statement for the half, which shows an 11% increase in net operating profit to $27.5 million and a statutory profit of $185.8 million for the year, for the half year. A reconciliation of net operating profit to statutory profit is included in the appendix to the presentation, with the most substantial item being the periodic revaluation of investment property. Operating EPS of 7.97 cents is 10% higher than the prior period and in line with our expectations for the first half. The key driver of the increase in operating profit is the 15% increase in property income, which has been derived from a combination of rent reviews and capital deployment. Like-for-like rent reviews averaged 3.6% for the half, noting that 87% of rent reviews in FY22 have a direct link to CPI outcomes, with CPI being the minimum amount of the rent review. With recent volatility in CPI, this provides ARENA with inbuilt inflation protection through our net cash flow. ARENA's ongoing program of investment in ELC developments and new acquisitions contributed to earnings via capital deployment of $48 million to date in FY22, including the completion of 3 ELC developments and the acquisition of 8 new ELC development projects. It's also the acquisition of 1 operating ELC in conjunction with a tenant partner. And as noted in the announcement today, terms are agreed on the acquisition of 6 operating ELCs in conjunction with a tenant partner post 31 December. We have also continued our program of selective capital recycling with the proceeds of $10 million from the sale of 2 ELCs during the half at a 15% premium to book value to be reinvested into our new developments. Some specific comments on rent collections for the half year. ARENA's portfolio has demonstrated high resilience throughout the pandemic. There are no rent arrears and all contracted rent has been received, including the collection of 600 of deferred rent in the first half. You may recall that our COVID-related rent deferrals were relatively short-term, with the remaining balance of deferred rent of $1.5 million to be received by December 2023. Deferred rent has been previously recognised in income and is booked as a receivable with only the cash to be collected. Just turning now to some other line items, the property expenses have primarily increased during the period due to additional allowances for independent valuations and some property inspections from growth in the portfolio. There was a relatively modest increase in our operating expenses compared to the comparative period from FY21. This increase is due to the cost increases from the scale of the platform, such as corporate insurances, custodian fees and building our ESG capabilities, but is also substantially due to the implementation in FY22 of the outcome of an independent remuneration review completed in late FY21. The objectives of that review were to compare the structure of ARENA's remuneration framework, including incentive programs, against contemporary market practice, and to benchmark each role in the ARENA team to market to ensure remuneration recognised their skills, experience, and appropriately structured rewards to performance-based outcomes. And importantly, in the current environment, to also assist with staff retention. I note that it has been 4 years since the last independent REM review was performed. Pleasingly, and this points to the benefit of the internalised management platform, is that the property revenues have increased by $4.1 million in the half, the cash OPEX increased by less than $600,000, and our cash MER remains less than 40 bips. The increase in finance costs is the natural outcome from the completion of 14 development projects in FY21, which moved them from capitalisation of interest in WIP to operating and the commencement of leases and rental payments. Our overall cost of borrowing is stable, with a slight reduction of 2.6% compared to 2.65% at June 21. The higher statutory profit of $185 million is primarily due to the growth in net operating earnings and the positive asset revaluations of $153 million at December, representing a 14% increase on 30 June 21. ARENA's FY22 distribution guidance was initially set at 15.8 cents per security, representing growth of 6.8% on FY21. With the further deployment of capital in FY22, we've updated distribution guidance today for the total distributions of 16 cents per security, representing growth of 8.1% on FY21. We expect that our final payout ratio to be consistent with recent years. Turning to page 9, the waterfall chart of EPS for the half year. The chart demonstrates the relativity of the individual items supporting EPS growth, noting the impact in FY22 to date of the key drivers of growth being rent reviews and the deployment of capital. Turning to page 10, this slide represents a summary of Arena's balance sheet. The full balance sheet is in the appendix of the presentation. Key points to note, growth in total assets, primarily due to the $50 million invested in acquisitions and developments in the first half, and the asset revaluations of circa $150 million, which is also the primary driver of the 18% increase in net assets per security. Net gearing at just under 8 and under 19% is well below Arena's maximum gearing range of circa 35 to 40%. However, this level of gearing provides substantial liquidity to fund the existing pipeline of developments, will enable us to continue to take advantage of growth opportunities at a low incremental cost of capital, and also provides a buffer around any future market volatility. Turning to page 11, capital management summary. Our approach to capital management continues to prioritise resilience and risk reduction through relatively low gearing, high levels of hedge cover, regular extension of debt facility terms, and maintaining immediately available liquidity in excess of our development commitments. During the period, our debt facility was expanded by $100 million, and at 31 December, we had $155 million of immediately available liquidity through the debt facility to cover our $70 million of future development commitments. This liquidity, in combination with our modest gearing, allows us to actively consider further growth opportunities, such as the 6LC position announced today. The weighted average debt term is 3.9 years with no expiry before March 24, and we have recently extended our March 25 expiry out to March 27. The all-in cost of debt, as I mentioned, has reduced to 2.6% with interest rate hedge cover at 76% with a weighted average term of near 5 years. The relatively long-term hedge cover, combined with the natural inflation protection provided by rent review mechanisms that are directly linked to CPI outcomes, provides us with substantial protection of our net operating income in an environment where interest rates may increase. Finally, it is important to note that Arena is operating well within the requirements of our debt facility, and we have very substantial headroom in both our LVR and ICR covenants. I want to hand you back to Rob, who will give you an update on Arena's property portfolio.
Thanks very much, Gareth. I'm now on page 13. As of 31 December, Arena owned 256 properties across Australia with a value of $1.3 billion. The portfolio is approximately 67 hectares of predominantly residentially zoned land with improvements that are almost exclusively purpose-built for our tenant partners to provide essential services to Australian communities. The portfolio is 100% occupied and with an exceptionally strong occupancy record, having had no vacancy in 6 consecutive years. It has the longest contracted rent profile in the REIT sector at 19.8 years with annual rent escalations that provide inflation protection. The portfolio has low single asset concentration with the largest asset by value and income representing only 2% of the portfolio. The passing yield is 5.14%, which has seen compression of 63 basis points in the last 6 months, which added with rent increases has provided valuation growth of just under 14%. The land and building rate remains under 1950 per metre, which looks like compelling value when measured against other real estate asset classes. Sector diversity for the portfolio sits at 87% for early learning and 13% for healthcare. And whilst we'd like to see more healthcare exposure, we currently see better long-term risk-adjusted returns in early learning centre opportunities. In terms of tenant diversification, we continue to improve our spread of tenant partners, now totaling 33, with 27% of Arena's income supported by Australia's largest early learning provider, Goodstart, which is an average lease term in excess of 30 years across over 100 properties with us. Moving on to the lease expiry profile, and as you can see in the graph on this slide, with no expiries this financial year, and in fact less than 2% of the portfolio's income expiring prior to financial year 29. And beyond that, no material concentration of expiries in any year, and over 30% of portfolio's income expiring beyond financial year 44. There's a very long-term cash flows that have annual escalations providing income growth and inflation protection to our security holders. 100% of the leases are triple net with no exposure to variable property expenses, so highly efficient and highly predictable. And every one of our early learning centre properties and our SDA properties provide us important business operating information data that assists us in our asset management and capital allocation decisions. And this has been an important tool in assisting the portfolio remain 100% occupied for the last 6 years. You can see on the right-hand side graph on the slide here that the portfolio WALE has increased by over 10 years since 2014, which is a reflection of both development completions and partnering with our tenants on the existing portfolio, the outcome of which is obviously consistent with our investment objective of providing long-term distributions to our security holders that are highly predictable with the prospects for growth. Moving on to our rent review profile on page 15. Here on this slide, we've broken down our rent review structures for the first and second half of financial year 22, as well as for full year 23, 24 and 25. Our average like-for-like rent increase for the first half of this financial year was 3.6%, which was made up of 41% of the higher of a fixed amount or CPI. And of those, predominantly they were CPI-based escalations given the increase in inflation during the period. 6% were CPI only, 7% were fixed reviews, and 1% were market rent reviews, which were completed at an average 6.5% increase. It's a similar profile for the second half of this financial year, with a slightly higher exposure to market rent reviews, which have all been resolved at a 6.5% average increase. Looking forward, we have a similar profile of annual rent reviews in financial year 23, 24 and 25, with over 80% of escalations being the higher of CPI and a fixed amount or market rent reviews. If you add the higher of a fixed amount or CPI being the bottom blue shade and the CPI only being the dark grey shade, you can see that the financial year 23 has nearly 90% of income that will escalate at least as high as CPI, and a relatively small exposure to market rent reviews, all of which are capped and collared between 0 and 7.5% increase. Financial year 24 has a higher exposure to market rent reviews, totaling 15.6% of that year's income. All of those reviews have a collar at the passing rent. In other words, the rent can't go backwards, and half of those reviews are subject to a capped increase of 7.5%, while the other half of those market rent reviews have no cap on an increase. I think the main point of focus on this slide is that our discipline in new deals of maintaining an escalation profile that is typically the higher of a fixed amount or CPI will provide for better rent growth outcomes for our investors in a high inflation environment, as well as protection for low inflation environments, both of which need to be considered when initial lease terms are up to 25 years in duration. Moving to page 16, our acquisition and development programs continue to perform to our expectation. We've secured a targeted pipeline of quality early learning centre development projects that will address community need, complement the portfolio and deliver future earnings growth. We acquired one early learning centre on completion in the growing suburb of Werribee in metropolitan Melbourne at a yield on all costs, including transaction costs, of 4.7%. It's a larger centre at 160 places and is performing well in its early ramp-up of occupancy. We've also completed three early learning centre development projects in the half at a total cost of $16.9 million and a yield on all costs of 6.4%. Each project was completed with an existing tenant partner, two were located in metropolitan Brisbane and one in metropolitan Melbourne. All of them are strategically positioned in their local catchment and are meeting our and our tenants' partners' expectations in early ramp-up of occupancy. Post-balance date, we've agreed terms for the acquisition of a portfolio of six new operating centres in South Australia with an existing tenant partner on a yield of 5.6% and a total cost of $38 million. The initial lease term for these properties is 25 years. Looking forward, our development pipeline has 19 early learning centre projects that are located in Queensland, Victoria, South Australia and New South Wales with a total forecast cost of $122 million, of which we have capital expenditure outstanding of $71 million. We anticipate that the average initial yield on all costs for these development projects will be 5.9%. Each of these development projects are being undertaken on a fund-through basis, and we've secured agreement for leases with existing tenant partners on every project in our standard 20-year triple net lease format. Arena is a leader in early learning centre development, and has an enviable record in executing on its development pipeline. Over a third of our early learning portfolio has been developed by us since listing in 2013. In that time, we've completed 57 developments with 14 tenant partners across all states and territories except the ACT. Those development projects have delivered increased community amenity as well as unrealised gains of over $100 million to December and in excess of $20 million of annual rent. Moving on to the next slide, just the ELC operating environment. As has well been publicised, the federal government support of the early learning sector through the pandemic has been significant and for the very most part well designed and well received by operators that required support, particularly through the COVID lockdown periods. Both major political parties and Australian communities more generally recognise that a well-performing early learning sector is integral to assisting parents and carers, and particularly females, join or get back into the workforce in the short term and on an ongoing and sustainable basis. It is also a fundamental service to assist workforce productivity by supporting employers in attracting and retaining employees in a tightening labour market. And there is a growing awareness of the positive lifelong learning prospects of children that attend early learning services and the broader role that plays in creating a more socially and emotionally well-adjusted community and a more qualified and productive workforce in future generations. The macro drivers supporting early learning sector continue to be positive, with a lower unemployment rate and increases in female workforce participation. And in relation to supply, net new supply of early learning centres was down marginally as measured against the last 5 years in the last 12 months. So across the country, there was a net addition of about 253 centres, which is net growth of approximately 3.1%. Moving to the next slide, in that context, ARENA's early learning portfolio is in a strong position. We are 100% occupied. We've collected 100% of contracted rent through the first half. Every one of our early learning centres is open and trading, and every one of those centres provides us business operating data, and that data provides us important information that assists asset management and capital allocation decisions, as well as providing insight into the general health of the sector. As we've done in previous reporting periods, we've included operating data up to the quarter prior, and that data provides average underlying operator occupancy has increased from September 20 to September 21 to record the highest rate our portfolio in the last 5 years. Daily fee growth has also increased to reflect an average of $117 per day, which remains below the government's benchmark fee of $135 per day. As you can see on the graph at the bottom of the page there, the government funding package continues to suit our early learning centre portfolio, which is typically geared towards middle income families. And to give that some context, over 90% of our early learning centres have daily fees under the government's childcare subsidy benchmark fee as of September. Our average rent per place across the portfolio has increased marginally to $2,606 per place, and given that we've developed more than a third of the portfolio over the last 6 years, remains highly affordable in our view. Despite rent increases across the portfolio, rent affordability has improved for our tenant partners on a net rent to gross revenue ratio, reducing to 10.3% as of September. Moving on to the next slide, our healthcare portfolio continues to perform well, and like early learning, the macro trends for healthcare remain compelling. A higher number of people are moving into older age brackets, and a higher proportion of the population is living with chronic illness, which underpins an increased need for healthcare services and the infrastructure to accommodate those services. We continue to see increased investor interest in the Australian healthcare property market, which has reflected an increase in the asset values for our healthcare portfolio. And whilst we continue to be attracted to new opportunities in the healthcare property market and aspire to grow this part of the portfolio, we currently see better long-term risk-adjusted returns from early learning acquisition and development activity. So we'll continue to participate in healthcare opportunities as they arise, but we'll be disciplined on our approach. Ultimately, we're looking for quality over the long term that will support our investment objective on a sustainable basis. Moving on to the outlook, and today we're announcing an upgrade to our full-year distribution guidance to 16 cents per security, an increase of 8.1% on financial year 21. The portfolio is in a strong position, 100% occupied, 100% of rent collected, a very long WALE, with a transparent, highly predictable rental profile that has inflation protection. Short and medium-term income growth is underpinned by those contracted annual rent increases, as well as the impact of our financial year 21 and financial year 22 acquisition and development completions. Medium and longer-term earnings growth is supported by both our contracted annual rent increases, as well as the completion of our recent additions to our development pipeline and any future acquisitions that are consistent with our investment objective and our strategy. Looking forward, early learning and healthcare services are integral to economic recovery and improving community outcomes, and those important themes underpin ARENA's portfolio value and investment objective of providing long-term predictable distributions to our security holders with prospects for growth. With substantial balance sheet capacity to take advantage of new opportunities that are consistent with our strategy, with gearing at less than 20% and no debt expiry falling due until March 24. Our experienced management team has strong industry relationships and in-house development and origination expertise that will assist us in sourcing future opportunities in a disciplined manner. In closing, I'd like to thank our team and our tenant partners for contributing to the positive investment portfolio and community outcomes that have been achieved in the first half of financial year 22. That concludes the formal part of today's presentation, so I'll now pass the call back to the operator to open up for questions. Thanks, operator.